We'll look at some verses in Hebrews 11 today. Hebrews chapter 11. And we will read this morning from verse 20. Hebrews 11, verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. If I were to put a title on this message today, I would entitle it, Will, Will, Will. Because we have just read the record of three dying men. And if you will, they are expressing their last will and testament. Now, you don't have to be a dead man. You can't be a dead man to write a will. But you write a will in view of the fact that you are a dying man. We are living in the land not of the living. We are living in the land of the dying. Those of us who know Christ are going to the land of the living, where death can never enter anymore. Just before the Lord Jesus went to the cross, he expressed his last will and testament. In his prayer to the Father in John chapter 17, he said, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And he could say, Father, I will, because he said, not my will, but thine be done. And though a son, he learned obedience by the things he suffered, and he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And by virtue of his death, he has made it possible for his will to be carried out in its entirety. In fact, he's the only one who made out his will and rose again to be the executor of his own will. And he's going to see to it that every provision is carried out. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we read, he died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Whether we go by means of the death route or of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, that purpose will be fulfilled. The favorite verse of a Christian who went to be with the Lord in South Florida some years ago was Romans 14 and verse 8. Whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether therefore we live or die, we are the Lord. Neither death nor life can be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Actually, Isaac lived more than 40 years after he spoke to his son. And strange as it may seem, I have known at least one person who was dying for 40 years that I knew about. She was always on her deathbed, if you heard her talk about it. In fact, she was just one of those people that really enjoyed poor health. She just loved to tell you what poor health she was enjoying. It was one of the fringe benefits of her ill health. I heard about an hypochondriac who was always complaining about his health condition. When he finally died, they saw that he had left in his will his epitaph to be put on his grave, and it was read like this: "Now, will you believe that I was sick?" He'd been telling people for years. Genesis 27:1 opens by saying that Isaac was old, his eyes were dim because of his age, and he knew not the day of his death. Well, that's true of all of us. We're all on death row. Nobody knows the day of his death. We know it is appointed unto men once to die, but where and when and how we're going to die, we don't know. The old Irishman said if he knew where he was going to die, he wouldn't bother to go there. But Isaac says to his son, "I'm old now." He lived about 40 years after this, but "I know not the day of my death." And he says, "Son, I want you to get me some of that venison." He was thinking about his belly. "Something of that good food that my soul may bless thee before I die." And so, his son, in obedience to his father, goes hunting for venison. We read of Jacob when he was a-dying. He was on his deathbed. He blessed both the sons of Joseph. And we read that Joseph, when he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. So we have three dying men. It's interesting. All of these men, it says, acted in faith, which tells us they had to act in obedience to what God had said. That's the only way you can act in faith. For faith is not some feeling. It is acting upon what God says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Before these twin boys, Jacob and Esau, were born to Rebekah, she was told that those two boys that were struggling, she asked the Lord about it, "What does it mean, these two babies struggling within my womb?" And God told her that two nations in her womb. And one of the things he told her was that the elder shall serve the younger. Esau was the oldest boy, but he is going to be subject to the younger. Now, in spiritual language, these two boys picture one. Because the thing that we discover when we come to Christ is that we're two in one. We have a new nature. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. But we discover we've still got that old nature to contend with. And there's a struggle going on in the one person, in this same body. The Bible says the first man is of the earth earthy, the second man is the Lord from heaven. There's only two men that the Bible speaks about, really: Adam or Christ. And if you've only been born the first time, you're in Adam. And God's word says, in Adam, all die. That's your fate. Not only do you die physically, you die eternally. You die spiritually. You are dead spiritually. In Adam, all die. But all in Christ shall be made alive. In spite of the fact that God had told Rebekah, and I'm sure she had informed Isaac of that fact if he didn't know in any other way, the elder shall serve the younger. And here, in disobedience to the word of God, Isaac is prepared to bless his son. He says, "Go get me some venison that I may bless thee before I die." And in defiance of the word of God, he is determined that he's going to bless the older son. Rebekah, it says, loved Jacob. Doesn't give any reason for her loving him. It just says she loved him. And that's a picture of God's love for us, when he could find no reason to love us. he found the reason in himself. Now it says, Isaac loved Esau because of the venison. Man, that's good food. If I could only get another taste of that good venison before I die, that's all he was thinking about, was his belly. And Rebecca, I believe, in spite of her faults, was thinking about what God had said. The one who is to get the paramount blessing is the elder. It's not by chance that Abel was the younger and Cain the older. It's not by chance that the elder son stayed at home and never went into the father's home, and the younger son was the one that returned. God is teaching us by this that all the blessing that he has is coming to us through the new man and not through the old man. The old man, get rid of him, Paul says. Our old man is crucified with Christ. But the new man has been created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Well, Rebecca says, you know, I've been listening to what your dad, I've been listening to what he told Esau, and he's gone out hunting for venison. Now, all I want you to do is to go out in the backyard and get me some kid of the goats, and I'm going to cook that, and the old man, he won't know the difference. It'll be venison as far as he's concerned, and you dress up. Put on a masquerade party and fool the old boy. He won't know the difference. Well, Jacob wasn't averse to the scheme. The only thing that bothered him was about a lot of people. They don't mind sinning. They only mind getting caught at it. And he said, well, mother says, Dad, I know his eyes are dim. He can't see too good because of age, but he'll recognize me. He says, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm smooth. He was smooth, all right. And says, don't worry about that. And mother takes that kid of the goats, the skin of it, and she puts it in his arms, it says, and she put it on the back of his neck. And she cooked that venison with some bread. Esau's still out hunting for venison. And Jacob takes this kid of the goats in to his father. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob lied through his teeth. I am Esau. Esau means good works. You know, a lot of people think they can pull the wool over God's eyes, can pull the wool over man's eyes and pretend to be what you're not. But God says, and you're not fooling him, the best things that you ever do are just as stinking rags in his sight. All our righteousnesses, not our good deeds, our bad deeds, but our good deeds are terribly evil in God's sight. No man can by any means approach God on the basis of his works. It's an utter impossibility. Because all our works are tainted. No, she fooled him with his eyes because she said, it says, the scripture says, she took goodly raiment of her son Esau and she decked him up in these best Sunday go-to-meeting clothes that Esau had. And I can see Isaac as he squints his eyes and he says, I'd recognize those clothes anywhere. And he thought that clothes made the man. But it didn't make the man. You can dress up as fancy as you like and pretend to be what you're not, but whether you have Esau's clothes on or not, under that cloak, it was old wily Jacob. Fooled him with his eyes. Come near to me, my son, that I may feel thee. And he ran his hands over that. Says, yeah, that's Esau, all right. That's Esau. Jacob, he doesn't have any hair on his chest or his neck. It's Esau. He was fooled by his feelings. And a lot of people are fooled by their feelings. Feelings come and feelings go. And feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. Naught else is worth believing. For though my heart should feel condemned for want of some good token, there is one greater than my heart, whose word cannot be broken. I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. For though all things shall pass away, his word will stand forever. Fact, faith, and feeling, these three. The fact is that Christ died for our sins, whether you believe it or not, that's true. He was buried and he rose again. Those are all facts. And if you believe that and trust in the one who did that work for you, then you'll go around feeling miserable the rest of your life. Is that the way it works? No, indeed. We heard the song sung last Sunday. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day. Happy is that people that is in such a case as the psalmist. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Alfred Gibbs used to quote Romans 10:9 this way. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, thou shalt feel saved. And then he'd say, would you rather be saved or feel saved? If you confess, you'll be saved, whether you feel like it or not, because God's word doesn't depend on your feelings. It depends on what he says. The voice? Yes, he said, the voice is Jacob's voice. But the hands? With the hands of Esau. Bring that venison. He brought it near and he tasted that venison. He said, boy, this is, I'm telling you, that's good venison. I can hear that. This is delicious. Of course, the scripture doesn't all record that. We have to use our sanctified imaginations a little bit. He thought it was great. He was fooled by the taste of that kid of the goats. He thought it was venison. And then he says, come near to me, my son. And he kissed him. And he says, the smell that's upon thee is like the field that the Lord hath blessed. He'd only been out in the backyard. He hadn't been hunting at all. You know, it's amazing how many people that think that truth is determined by majority vote. Four of his senses lied to him. He was fooled with his eyes were dim. He was fooled by his taste. He was fooled by his nose. He was fooled by four out of the five of his senses, but the one thing that told him the truth, his ears, he just didn't believe his ears. And do you know? That's why people are not saved. They just simply won't believe what God says. You know, when God consecrated the priest in the Old Testament, the first thing that was done was the right ear was claimed. And let me say this. If God doesn't have your ears, he doesn't have anything. That's where it all begins. Once he gets your ears, he's got you. Lord Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, He that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life. The only thing that will tell you the truth are your ears. Did you notice it said he blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come? Didn't say he blessed Esau and Jacob. Because after he had blessed him, he trembled because he realized he was about to do something in defiance of God's word. But God had overturned things through his mother. And he realized that when he had blessed him, he had blessed the right man when he blessed Jacob. And when Esau came in the bitter tears and crying for his father to bless him, old Isaac says, by faith, says, I have blessed him, and he shall be blessed. Ah, the blessing is not in the old man. It's in the young man. He cried with exceeding and great bitter cry, bless me, my father. But it says he blessed both the sons. By faith, Jacob, when he was a-dying, it says, blessed both the sons of Joseph. What a lovely picture you have here. Isaac, his father, may have forgotten. But Jacob on his deathbed did not forget that lesson. That lesson that had been pounded in his mother's ears before he was born, the elder shall serve the younger. And the Bible tells us that Joseph brought his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, to see his father as he lay on his deathbed. And he brought them in such a way that the elder son would be at the right hand of Jacob. The right hand is a symbol of power in the scripture. The right hand would be placed on Manasseh. And the left hand would be placed on Ephraim. He brought him in such a way. But Jacob, it says his eyes were dim because of age. But while his physical eyes were dim, his spiritual eyes were just as sharp as ever. And you know what he did? He reached out his hands like this. And he crossed them. And he put the left hand on the older son. And he put the right hand, the hand of blessing, on the younger son. And that's what the cross has done. The cross is not the message that Jesus died for my sins. That's a different message. The cross is the message is that God not only gets rid of my sins, he wants to get rid of me. That the flesh profits nothing. And in Galatians 2 and verse 20, it says, I, not my sins, me, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Interesting. He blessed both of the sons, just as his father blessed both of the sons. For you see, it's a truth that when you come to Christ, you make the discovery, not only are you a new man created in Christ Jesus, but as virtue of that fact, the old man is better off than he would be. F.W. Borum, in one of his books, tells the story of a man. And the title of this article was That Blessed Word Which, W-H-I-C-H, That Blessed Word Which. And this man had been a drunken, dissolute, no good, and then he got saved. And then he was married, raised a family. And he was sitting at the bottom of the stairs, and his wife from upstairs yelled at him, John, which suit do you want to wear tonight? Oh, he said that blessed word, which. He said, before I came to Christ, I was a drunken, dissolute bum. I didn't even have a shirt on my back. Now my wife just says, take your pick. Which suit tonight? And so the apostle says, godliness as promise in the life which now is and in that which is to come. Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh means forgetfulness. And Ephraim means fruitfulness. And God is saying all the fruit is in the new man that has been created in Christ Jesus. There's nothing in the old man for God at all. The flesh profits nothing. And says, no, forget the old man. Leave him on the cross. Our old man is crucified with Christ. And let the new man who's been created in Christ Jesus be seen. That blessed word which by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. He told them there were two things that were going to happen. Two certain things that were going to happen. God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land. And secondly, he told them, when you leave Egypt, take my bones with you. Don't leave them in this land. Egypt is not my resting place. My place belongs in the land that God has promised. That's my home. You know, it's kind of amusing in a way. Every once in a while you go and you fill out some papers. I did the other day. I was giving some blood and they put in their permanent address. And I started to put no place. That is here. Just because you live in a place 80 years or 90 years, is that permanent? It's a joke. No one has any permanent. We have no certain dwelling place here, the scripture says. We're just strangers and pilgrims in this world. And he says, I want you to take my bones with you. And the last words, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. And the last words of the book of Genesis, Joseph was put in a coffin in Egypt. That's the last words of the first book of the Bible. Joseph was put in a coffin in Egypt. You know, it all started out very well. Like when we get married. When we get married, they start telling us right away, we're going to break up. I said, what kind of a business is this? I'm just getting married and they're already saying I'm going to break up. Do you promise to love, honor, and cherish till death do us part? Wait a minute! I'm marrying this woman, you know. You only get to keep her a while, or she you. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, he performed seven miracles that are recorded in John's Gospel, seven signs. The first sign was at a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the last sign was by raising Lazarus from the dead. And it's been so well said, the Lord Jesus is the only one that can put gladness into a marriage. And he's the only one that can take sadness out of the funeral. Joseph was put in a coffin in Egypt. But let me tell you this, Joseph wasn't just any ordinary man. He wasn't just Mr. Joe in the streets. Joseph was the one of whom the scripture was said, God sent me before you to preserve life. That was the bones of their Savior. Not an ordinary person, the bones of their Savior in that coffin. He says, I want you to carry them all the way to Egypt. And I can imagine these Israelites say, what do you got in that box there anyway? Joseph's bones. But what are you carrying? Well, they don't belong in this land. They belong in the promised land. We're carrying the bones till we get to the promised land. Then we won't need them anymore. Because that's what they did when they got to the promised land. They buried his bones. It tells us that in Joshua. All that journey through. They carried the bones of their Savior. For had it not been for Joseph under God, there would have been no nation of Israel. How wonderful God's provision in sending this son. We read God was with him. God's was with him. God was with him. No doubt he thought when he was sold as a slave, that was nothing to cheer about. No doubt he thought when he went into prison because of this woman's misrepresenting him, telling false things about him. And then he's incarcerated in that prison for years, even after he interprets that dream for the butler, and he's still there. He thought to himself, what does this all mean? Over 1900 years ago, in a room in Jerusalem, an upper room, our Savior met with his disciples. He told them two things. God will surely visit you. He's going to bring you out of this land. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I'm not leaving you here. And he says, now, as you're journeying through this world, till you reach the promised land, he says, I'm going to leave you two things. And he took a loaf of bread in his hands, and he says, this is my body which is given for you. And this cup is the New Testament, my blood. All during the wilderness journey, I want you to carry my body and my blood with you. And I want you to remember that the reason that you are a people of God is because your Savior died to make it possible. And one day you'll be home. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. What mean ye by these bones? What do we mean by this bread and wine? Why, we mean that's the memorial of our Savior. He's given us His word. He's coming back for us some glad day. Our son David went to be with the Lord September the 9th, 1990. A very devoted Christian. At his funeral service, or rather at his wedding, one of the hymns that was sung by his request, and the hymn that he and his brother sang as a duet at Greenwood Hills just 1 year before he went to be with the Lord, was this hymn. One of the verses was not sung at his wedding, and one of the verses the boys did not sing at Greenwood Hills. But I'm going to give you all the verses. In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear. And safe in such confiding, for nothing changes here. The storm may roar without me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me. And can I be afraid? Wherever He may guide me, no one shall turn me back. My shepherd is beside me, and nothing can I lack. His wisdom ever waketh, his sight is never dim. He knows the way he taketh, and I will walk with him. Green pastures are before me, which yet I have not seen. Bright skies will soon be o'er me, where the dark clouds have been. My hope I cannot measure, my path to life is free. My Savior as my treasure, and he will walk with me. This is the verse they did not sing. Here yet another morning my spirit may be free, as absent from the body at home, O Lord, with thee. O sleep, O rest, thou precious, as guarded by thy care. I'm waiting for thy promise to meet thee in the air. The Lord himself, even Jesus, amid the ransomed throng, its glory, joy, and beauty. Its never-ending song. O day of wondrous promise, the bridegroom and the bride are seen in glory ever, forever satisfied. Yes, we can say, those who know the Lord, we're listening for thy shout, Lord Jesus, to meet thee in the air. I wonder if you're saved. Do you have the hope that is suggested by these words of Joseph? By faith, Joseph, Jacob, blessed both the sons of Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Shall we pray? Our Father, we have touched briefly on these three stalwarts of faith, on this great chapter that calls attention to the wills of these dying men expressed by the actions that they took. And we pray that we may live our lives in the light of eternity. We may live our lives recognizing that the only hope that we have for eternity is the fact that we have a Savior who died for us, who lives for us, has left his memorials for us to remind us ever of the fact that he's coming again, as thy word says, as oft as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do show forth the Lord's deathly come. We're looking forward to that day, that shout, when the Lord Jesus himself shall descend and claim his own, that church which he has purchased with his own blood. We thank thee for each and every one here who can say that they're ready for that day. For any here who know not the Savior, we pray that through the message we have listened to this morning, they heed the call of the Savior who said, come unto me, that I will give you rest. We ask these favors in his precious name. Amen.
Following is a solo entitled The Love of God by Mrs. Chitty.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to from his sins.
Ladies, we want to hear you in the chorus, please.